We're going to be talking about, this is the middle part actually, second lesson out of three that I've put notes together for about why did Paul baptize, water baptism today, and today we'll be looking at why did Paul baptize. Well, at first, Paul was continuing what believers were told to do. Baptize believers. And I'm talking here about Paul, not about Ananias. Ananias was a Jew and did what converted Jews were to do, water baptize. We see that in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, he says, teach all nations, baptizing them. Well, pronoun identification, who is the ye? Go ye, therefore. Who was he saying it to? Who was he telling to baptize those that they taught? It was Israel. In this case, it was probably the 12 apostles of Israel. But the only believers alive just before Paul was saved, let me repeat that, just before Paul was saved, the only believers alive were Jews and Jew blessers, claiming Israel's promises of a future salvation. Both of those groups were claiming that the promise of future blessings and salvation. So, and I need to write down the verse as soon as I re-find it, but I did find a verse that shows that some of the Gentiles will receive salvation having blessed Israel. And I don't know if it was all of them. I have to find the verse before I get into that. But Paul was continuing what believers were to do until later on, Christ sent him not to baptize. So, before he was sent not to baptize, there was no reason not to. I mean, believers had always baptized. And, fortunately, Paul did not take it into his own hands to change God's way of doing things until Christ told him to. And we'll look back, you know, as we sit here, and we try to look back from our perspective of being grace believers, understanding the difference between Israel's doctrines and the body of Christ's doctrines. Think about it. The first indication that God was changing things about baptism was in 1 Corinthians 1:17, which was written in the time period of Acts 19, long after Paul was saved. 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. So it was, you know, before Acts 19, when Christ had sent Paul not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's the way it was. Paul did not mention that revelation in his earlier epistles, the revelation that he was not to baptize. It was never mentioned. Not one prison epistle had yet been written, nor had Romans been written or 2 Corinthians been written by that time. Paul was still under his Jew and devout person commission in the dispensation of the gospel. And let's review that just a little bit here. Look in Luke 13, verses 4. We'll look at 4, 26, and 46. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Men and brethren, this is verse 26, men and brethren, children of the... Okay, thank you for joining us, being here with us. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. It's not the same salvation, is it, as Israel was waiting for at the return of Christ, to the salvation to the land. This is a different salvation. And it's to who? It's to the children of the stock of Abraham, Israelites, and whosoever among you feareth God. Those that weren't Israelites, but feared God, came to the synagogues under that Israel doctrine of blessing that God promised them. He says, to you is this word of this salvation sent. Not the synagogue salvation, but what he was preaching. And then after he preached it, he look at verse 46 in Acts 13. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the power of God unto salvation, called the gospel of Christ. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So, Romans 1:16 is that verse, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's God's power to save people, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's a qualifier in there, a limiter. At that time, it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Just like at the time before Paul was saved, it was baptize those that are believers. Just after Paul was saved, it was still the same thing, until you get to when there was the change that he talked about in Acts 19. Acts 19, Christ sent me not to baptize, is the first he tells us about it in Acts 19. So, those two qualifiers with which Paul ends that statement, notice before them what Paul says about the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. It's not unto the power of God, not the power of God unto the covenants that those in the synagogue were hoping, you know, placing their trust in, that God made with Israel, those covenants. No, it's power. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. It's different. And he was teaching them it was different. And many of them were surprised and happy. I think it's about verse 50 in there. It says that they were happy about it, and many were not happy. They followed him, in fact. And I think, weren't those the ones that eventually stoned him in Acts 14, verse 19 or 20? 19, I think it is. But the first mention of the... pardon me. Pardon me. Yeah, I got a drink there. but the first time that the dispensation of the grace of God was mentioned was not until Paul's next to the last epistle written, Ephesians. Later on, in fact, that's Paul's commission that he received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God had not been revealed to us by Paul until you get to Acts 20, verse 24. That's, you know, well, let's read the verse. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And, here's the additional part that he got. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's right toward the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. You know, before that, Paul was still preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew first and also to the Greek is the difference. And it was, you know, at the time when Christ first sent Paul, not to baptize, was in that time period there, just before he was sent to all people. Remember, too, there was a division that God had made. Then he mentioned that division that he had made in Exodus 33:16, and we'll look at these verses, and also in Leviticus 20. But in Exodus 33, verse 16, "For wherein shall it be?" Let's see. Okay. "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." God made that separation, that division. And he made it rightly. Look in Leviticus 20, verses 24 and 26. We'll read straight through to 26. "But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put..." Hi, welcome to the room. "You shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. And you shall not make your souls abominable by beast or fowl, by beast or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine." So, to the best of my understanding, that's the earliest that we can trace back that division that Paul tells us that we should divide rightly in the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. There's no scripture that tells of a breakdown in that division before Paul's ministry that he received with the Lord. The commission to testify the gospel of the grace of God to all people. It had not been revealed to us by Paul until Acts 20, verse 24. When we do get to scripture that tells us that Christ had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, it was because of the cross, according to Ephesians 2, but it was not preached until due time. Acts 20, verse 24, or a few verses before that in Acts 20, verse 6, according to Philippians 4:15, that says that when they sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, was the beginning of the gospel. Look at Philippians 4:15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Now, the point that we want to see here is not so much that they were sacrificial in their giving, but the point that he says, when he departed from Macedonia was the beginning of the gospel. That was when he first started preaching a gospel, a certain gospel. The one that he preached to the Philippians, and he says that, well, we know it wasn't the gospel of Christ. That started in Acts 13 or sooner. You know, if you consider Christ saving Paul by the gospel of Christ, it started in Acts 9. If you don't consider that, then it started when Paul started preaching it in Acts 13. But that's still different from here in Acts 20, verse 6. This had to be a later gospel than the gospel of Christ, which would have been the gospel of the grace of God to all people. Not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but including them. It would include all people, but they would have to come as sinners instead of as law keepers. So, just a brief review for clarification. A gospel A gospel is good news. It contains several parts or aspects to a gospel. A gospel has, well, first of all, you have to consider who it's from. Who is issuing this good news? Is it somebody, you know, is it Satan? You know, you shall not surely die. That was Satan's good news. You won't die if you take of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. God knows when you take that fruit, you'll be like him. That's a sly deceptor. That's Satan talking. It sounds like good news. So what I'm saying is you have to take note of who the issuer of the gospel is. Who is giving you this offer? And of whatever it is that's being offered in the gospel. That's part of the gospel too, what's being offered. The content of the gospel. Another thing is who's the target audience? Who is it directed to? And another thing, does it have a time limit on it? Or a time when it begins? When is that gospel for? And does it have a name? These different gospels with different qualifications in them and different offers, they do have different names. So don't just ignore the difference in the name and say, well, they're all the same. God says they're different. He named them differently. Sometimes it can be confusing when people use the word gospel when what they mean is either message or content or gospel message. The gospel of the kingdom was only to Israel. That was the recipients, Israel. It wasn't to anybody else. It was about their promised kingdom, out of heaven, on earth, in the land. That was the subject of that gospel. According to Romans 1:1-4, the gospel of God is a set of facts in the Bible, testified in the Bible by God, that those facts identify who Jesus is when he comes, when he came. They should have known. They had it right in front of them in their Old Testament scriptures that they accessed week after week on the Sabbath in the synagogues. But these facts in the Bible identify Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, or the Christ of the Old Testament prophesied there, and that he rose from the dead. Those three facts. Let's look at those verses. See if you can pick them out as we read them. Romans 1:1-4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And just a parenthesis here in verse 2 about what the gospel of God is, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Here it is. The gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So his sonship is part of it. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And they called him Christ, which is Messiah. And he was born of the messianic line under David, of the seed of David. And then verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's the third element of the gospel of God. The gospel of Christ is the good news from Christ to Paul of a new pattern of salvation into the body of Christ, to be preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek, those few God-fearing Israel-blessing Gentiles who sought the wisdom and knowledge of God, those Greeks. Then there's the gospel of the grace of God, and it's the good news from Christ to Paul of a new pattern, a pattern of salvation, into the body of Christ to be preached to all men, not just to Jews and those coming to God under Jews' doctrine, Israel's doctrine, but to all men, the gospel of the grace of God. And we can know that the content of or the message of the gospel of Christ is the same as the content or message of the gospel of the grace of God because of Ephesians 1 verses 12 and 13. Ephesians 1:12 refers to the believers in the gospel of Christ that Paul preached to in Acts 18 and 19 in Corinth before he was sent to all men in Acts 20. Here it is, Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And then Ephesians 1:13 refers to the believers in the gospel of the grace of God that included non-Jews, included Jews, it included non-Jews, and it included non-Greeks, and who were apart from, those non-Greeks were apart from, they were alien to the covenants and to the commonwealth of Israel. But it was to everybody. And, well, look at the verse, the 13th verse. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So among them were people who never blessed Israel, never feared the God of Abraham before they heard the gospel. They had not been in the promises to Israel in Genesis 12, especially verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee. They had never blessed the seed of Abraham, Israel. They were the all men in Titus 2:11, that Titus 2:11 refers to. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That was written after Paul was sent to all men in Acts 20. Those Gentiles, that the alien Gentiles that were preached to, they were the all the Gentiles in 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Those alien Gentiles were those in the regions beyond those who had heard Paul preach the gospel of God and then the gospel of Christ. And he talks about them in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 16, when he's raising funds to go to all people, go beyond that circuit that he had been going on. And he says, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. So, Ephesians 1:13, the believers there were just like us today. We have no way to bless Israel during Israel's rise. And you can check out, that promise in Genesis 12:3 was to those who bless Israel during their rise. Look at Isaiah 60 verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Well, Israel is not rising any longer. They have fallen. Israel has fallen in Acts 7 verses 51 to 59. So in Acts 9, just after that, God introduced a new pattern of saving believers into the body of Christ, as told in the verses that we love there in 1 Timothy 1:14 to 16. That you come like Paul did, as a sinner. Okay, thank you for being here. Ephesians 1:12 and 13 shows that both conditions of believers in Ephesus... I think I said Corinth before, didn't I? Yeah, I should have said Ephesus regarding Ephesians 1:12 and then the believers in 1:13. They were in Ephesus, not in Corinth. But it shows that both the conditions of believers in Ephesus had believed the very same content or message, even though the name of the gospel was different because it was preached to all people now, not just to the Jews and the Greeks. So that shows that it was the same gospel message. Another thing that shows, I just became aware of, actually from Byron Wiggins, is that in the three uses, Paul's three uses of the term my gospel, some of them are, it was his my gospel before he was sent to all people. It was my gospel, Romans 2 16, I think it is. He's talking about my gospel to just the Jews and the Greeks. And then in 1 Timothy, I can't think of the verse, but it's after his Acts 20 sending to all people that he uses the term again, my gospel. So it's the same gospel. So it was Paul's proclaimed and practiced mode of operation. Let me say that differently. The way Paul operated, the way he said he was going to operate, and the way he went about operating was to preach for a while the facts about who Jesus is that we call the gospel of God. And he did that before he preached his gospel of salvation, my gospel. And he preached that to those who believed who Jesus is, to those who believed the gospel of God. There's no scripture that Paul preached the gospel of Christ to those 12 Jews in Acts 19. They were Jews, and Paul didn't preach to them the gospel of Christ in the scripture. In fact, that would have violated his principle. He said that he strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest he should build on another man's foundation. That's Romans 15:20. And during a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Paul preached the gospel of God and then the gospel of Christ to unbelieving Jews and to the God-fearing Israel-blessing Greeks in the places where the Jews met on their Sabbath. Later on, during the dispensation of the grace of God, Paul preached the gospel of God, and then the gospel of the grace of God to all men, wherever he would go. And most of those places were under imprisonment, if you recall. He was imprisoned there in Acts 20, 21, verse 20, verse 30, or somewhere in there, throughout the rest of Acts. And most of the prison epistles. That's why they're called prison epistles. Paul did not say, Christ did not send me to baptize. That's not what he said. It's not a non-sending. It's not a lack of ascending. It's not that Christ forgot to commission Paul. He didn't say, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And that's how many people read it. Paul did say, Christ sent me not to baptize. He did receive a sending. Paul was under a sending from Christ, and that sending was not to baptize. Let's not mess with the words of Scripture. I mean, it's plain. He was sent not to baptize. From that point on, there should be no baptism other than the one baptism. There is one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. And that's the baptism by one Spirit into the one body of Christ. When Paul did baptize, it's recorded there in Acts 18, Crispus and Gaius were baptized by Paul. It's in Acts 18, not Acts 19, when he wrote 1 Corinthians. It had already happened. In Acts 18, 4 and 5, you can read that Paul preached unto them the facts about the identity of Jesus. Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And, you know, in Acts 17, in verse 3, it tells, it defines reasoning, what Paul is talking about when it says, or Luke is talking about when he says reasoning. He defines that to be reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, is Messiah, Israel's long waited for Holy One, Anointed One. In other words, Paul told them the facts about who Jesus is. Now, he wasn't preaching the kingdom. or that they should receive him as Messiah. He's preaching the fact that that's who he was, though. So he told them the facts about who Jesus is, and that's what Paul preached in Corinth there in Acts 18, verses 4 and 5. That's what Paul calls the gospel of God in Romans 1, 1 to 4. There is no salvation proclaimed in those verses or in the gospel of God. That's not preaching salvation. That's preaching who Jesus is, and that's the very thing that Israel did not have faith in that caused them to reject their Messiah, to rebel against their Messiah and crucify him and stone Stephen full of the Holy Ghost. So there's no salvation in those verses. Look at let's look at those verses. We'll look in Acts 18, verses 4, 5, 6, 7. Go through 8. Acts 18, starting in verse 4. And he reasoned in this would be in Corinth. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Still in Acts 18, he's going to the Jews and the Greeks. Verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. You see the difference there? In verse 4, he's persuading the Jews and the Greeks. In verse 5, he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And now there's, don't make assumptions about who those Gentiles are, because by then, Gentiles, uncircumcision included those Jews that rejected their Messiah. Romans 2:25 says circumcision, I forget the exact wording, circumcision is fine, but if you don't keep the law, your circumcision is uncircumcision. Let me just get that and make it right here so I don't... Let me put that up here. Circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. Who in the world has ever kept the law except Jesus Christ? But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. By that time, uncircumcision is the only way you could come to God. You had to come as a sinner. That's what 1 Timothy 1:15 is about. That it was a pattern that we have to follow, coming to Christ as Paul came to Christ as a sinner, not as a law keeper. So, henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed from thence, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. So it was, you know, wall to wall, next to somehow either a duplex or, you know, built against it, right up, hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed. Faith cometh from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Acts 18:8. Again, that was before the Acts 18:22, the temple vision, and Christ's sending of Paul not to baptize. Then, still in Corinth, in Acts 18, verses 6 to 11, Paul preached to those gospel of God believers the gospel of salvation, gospel of Christ. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. That was Acts 18. 1 Corinthians, written during the time period of Acts 19, either verse 10 or verse 20, after Paul's visit to Corinth, which was Acts 18, the first 18 verses, after that, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians in Acts 19, wrote it back to them, telling them new information that he had received. New information. He had received new information in that temple vision in the meantime. Between the time that he baptized those in Acts 18 and the time that he wrote 1 Corinthians in Acts 19. Christ revealed a change to Paul as he stated in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And we're going to be closing here soon. In plain English, though, Paul continued to water baptize until Christ sent him not to baptize. And there's no scripture saying that Paul ever disobeyed Christ's sending not to baptize. God unveiled changes from Israel's acceptable day of the Lord to a dispensation of the gospel to the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, I'm not a dispensationalist. The only ist that I am is a Bible believerist. And I realize that the Bible does document changes in God's dealings with mankind. Whether those changes are called dispensation or a time, a day, age, or ministration. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about the same type of changes as are called dispensation, but they're called ministration there. So the, you know, I don't put either of them as being sub important to the other. Dispensation or ministration or day, age of the Gentiles or whatever. These things are God's way of working at during the time that from when he starts working that way to when he finishes working that way. And there were changes. The hardest part of Bible study is dropping the preconceived ideas or our adopted ideas that we worked out and had so much pride in that we thought we had it down right. You know, dropping those and simply letting God teach us through honest, thorough, in-context, rightly divided Bible study. And that's what we need to do. Okay, I'm done for today. That's what I've got.